Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph, and we'll start on the bottom of daf Yud Amud Beis. And we'll start with the two dots, which are four lines up before the end of Yud Amud Beis.
Im Yesh,
correct. So the Mishnah says, Im Yesh lo Tzuris HaPesach, Afal Pisha Rachov Me Eser Eino Tzorech Lemay. So we're talking about a Mavui that has an entranceway that is 10 Amos wide. And under normal conditions, such a mavui doesn't lend itself to the heter, the tikkun of lechi or korah, because it's too wide. However, the Mishnah qualifies and says that if he puts up a tzuras ha-pesach, which means two vertical poles, and on top, crossbar, a horizontal pole on top, then you don't have to reduce the opening, the width of the opening of the mavui. And the Gemara now clarifies these dinim with regard to being machshir a mavui when it has a pesach that is too wide. Ashkechan, we found in our Mishnah with regard to tzuras ha-pesach, the mahanya berochva, that tzuras ha-pesach will help in a case where the pesach is of the mavui is eser amos. We also found, this was a Gemara that we had back on Daf Gimel, a Maltara, which the Gemara had two opinions exactly what a Maltara is, but something that you put on top of the Korah is above 20 Amma, and according to one opinion, the Maltara is some sort of very fancy, beautiful wood that they place one on top of the other, different slats of wood in a certain beautiful architectural design. According to another opinion, it is a nest for birds, and the point of the Amaltara is to draw the attention of the eye, so that even though this Korah is above 20 Amos, normally we say Lo Sholta Ba'ena, you don't really notice, and there's no heker of the Korah, because it's so high up, but in the case of an Amaltara, it's fine. Demahanya Begova. And even though the Gova, the height of the Korah is above 20 Amma, nevertheless, a Maltara will help. So we know that Tzuras HaPesach helps when it's too wide. We know that a Maltara helps when it's too tall. Ibcha Mai. Now we turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amin Aleph. What happens in the opposite? And the way the Meiri interprets the Gemara's question is, it's a twofold question. Number one, will Tzuras HaPesach be machshir mavui when it's higher than 20 amma? And number two, will an amaltara be machshir a mavui when the pesach is more than 10 amos wide? And that means ibchamai, the reverse. Toshma, we learned in the braisa, the sanya mavui shehu gavoa mi esrim amma yimait v'yim yesh lo tzuras ha-pesach eino tzorech lemait. The braisa certainly addresses one of our two questions head on and says that a Tzuras HaPesach is meaningful to salvage not only Berochav when it's more than 10 Amos wide, but also Begova when it is 20 Amos high. So that you have two options. If you don't want to be Mamayit a Gova of Esrim Amos, you could either put up an Amaltara or you could put up a Tzuras HaPesach. And a Tzuras HaPesach is considered a very substantial kind of mechitza, and therefore it can be meaningful even in that height of Esrim Amma or more. Amalta Baruch Bomai, but what about the second question that we were implying? Can Amalta help in a case where the opening of the Mavi is too wide? Toshma, we learned in a Braisa, Desanya, Mavoi shehu gavoa mi esrim amo yemait. V'arochav mi eser yemait. correct. So if either you have a problem of too high of a korah, or you have a problem of too wide of an opening into the mavui, in both cases you have to reduce. V'im yesh lo tzuras ha-pesach einu tzorach l'mayit. V'im yesh lo maltura einu tzorach l'mayit. Now the simple interpretation here is that you can salvage a situation, and let's talk about the second situation, which is called the seifa in this price, and that's a wide, too wide of an opening, by either a tzuras ha-pesach, and that's not a chiddush. We know that a tzuras ha-pesach will rectify a mavui that's too wide. But in addition, the Braisa seems to be adding that an amalter will salvage the situation. Even though the Pesach is too wide, it's 10 amos wide. My love, shouldn't we assume a seifa? That this last comment of the Braisa, that an amalter will replace the need for being memayit, is referring to the seifa, to the last case, which is a case of a Pesach movi that has more of a width than we allow. Lo, Sigmar says that's no proof. Aresha. It could be that the qualification here that Amalter Ein Tzorach L'mayit is going back on the Resha. That means on the case where the Korah is too high, it's above Esri Amma. But we don't know that an Amalter will be meaningful in a case where the opening is too wide. And the Sfasemis and other Achronim tried to explain the logic here as to why Amalter is not going to help in the width. And the answer is the width has to do with the Shem Pesach. If the Pesach is no longer Pesach, it's so wide, it's Eser Amos, and therefore you don't have a Pesach to this Mavui, the fact that the Amalter draws the attention of the eye is not going to change that situation. But in the case of a Tzuras HaPesach, which as we said before, is a serious Mechitza, there it will help, even in the case of a Gova of Esrim Amos. Masni le Rav Yehuda lechiyo bar Rav kami de Rav. Now Rav Yehuda is teaching a halacha to chiyo the son of Rav in the presence of Rav, and this is a comment that's being made on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if the opening, the entrance into the mavui is more than 10 amos, you have to be mamayit unless you have a tzuras haPesach. And then in such a case, the Mishnah says, Eino tzarech lemay, amalei. So when this halacha of our Mishnah was being taught by Rav Yehuda to Chiya bar Rav, Rav made the following comment to Rav Yehuda. He says, don't teach my son this Mishnah, but rather, asne, teach him this, tzarech lemay. Meaning that Rav is of the opinion that even in a case where he has a tzuras haPesach, if the entranceway into the mavui is more than 10 amos wide, then you still have to be memayit. It's not enough to rely on the tzuras haPesach. You still have to be memayit. And you have to make sure that the opening into the entranceway of the mavui is less than 10 amos. Because tzuras haPesach is not meaningful to rectify a situation of a mavui whose opening is 10 amos wide. In yesterday's discussion on Daf Yud, we had many different recommendations as to how to be mamayit, you know, putting up a pas here and a pas there, and we spoke about Omed Merubah al HaParetz, but in any event, Tzuras HaPesach is not enough. And in a certain sense, what he's saying is that although Tzuras HaPesach might be considered a valid mechitza, but we nevertheless need a mavui to begin with. And this is not called a mavui because the Pesach, more than Eser Amos, is not called a Pesach. And one of the preconditions of a mavui, we had discussions about the length and the depth of the mavui and the fact that you have kesolim on both parts that aren't breached, and also you have to have an entry, a Pesach. And more than Eser Amos is not a Pesach. Omer Rav Yosef, Midivir Rabbeinu, from the words of Rav, who holds that Tzuras HaPesach is not meaningful to be Matir Pesach, that's more than 10 amos wide in the case of a Mavui, Nilmad, we should derive a second in, that Chotzer, Sheruba Psochim Vechalonos. Here we have a courtyard. There are two houses that are surrounded by the mechitzos of a courtyard. But what's unique about this scenario is that you have many, many openings and many, many windows, such that there's more airspace in these mechitzos than there are standing up what we call omed, physical structures or stones that are piled one on top of the other. So you have more windows than you have wall space. And that gives you what's called Poretz Meruba Al HaOmed. And Rav Yosef wants to derive that if a Tzuras HaPesach, according to Rav, is not sufficient in the case of such a wide opening of a Mavui, then in the case of a Chatzer, Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you. Ein Niteres B'Tzuras HaPesach, my time of why? Hoil V'Yosef Me'eser Amos B'Mavui. If we saw that in the case of an opening into a Mavui, if the width is more than Eser Amos, then a Tzuras HaPesach koi to Rav is not meaningful, then Paretz Meruba LaOmer, Oser B'Chatzer, then in the case where you have more open space than closed space, which is not going to supply you with the mechitzos that you need for a chatzer to be matir a chatzer, is my yoser be'eser ha'oser b'mavi eino nitar b'tzuras ha'pesach af paretz meruba la'omed ha'oser b'chatzer eino nitar b'tzuras ha'pesach. Rav Yosef postulates the following analogy. He says that in the case of a Pesach of a Mavui, when you have a width that's too wide, a Tzuras HaPesach according to Rav is not meaningful. It's not valid to rectify the situation. In the case of a Chatzer, likewise, we have a different kind of a psul. It's not the psul of the width of the opening, but rather it's the psul of the fact that the mechitzos are parutz meruba la'omei. There's too much open space to qualify as mechitzos. So in this case as well, as far as Chatzer, in the case of Paretz Meruba Omed, Tzuras HaPesach is not going to salvage the situation. And the Gemara rejects Rav Yosef. The Gemara asks the following question: how can you derive the din of Paretz Meruba Omed from the din of Rochav Eser Amos? Meaning, it could very well be that an opening of Eser Amos is much more chamur, is more severe and strict in Halacha than the case of Paretz Meruba LaOmed, to such an extent that in the case of Pesach, HaRochav Eser Amos, a Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you. That's Rav Shita. And in the case of Paretz Meruba LaOmed, it could be that Rav would agree that Tzuras HaPesach would work, because Paretz Meruba LaOmed is something that the Halacha sometimes validates as a mechitza. Where do we find that Paretz Meruba LaOmed might be valid, and we're more makil in Paretz Meruba LaOmed than we are in a Pesach of a mavui that's more than Eser Amos? Ma li yosem yeser ha'oser b'mavui shekein lo itartabo eitzel pasi biroz li Rabbi Meir tomar v'paretz meruba la'omed v'chotzer shekein itartabo eitzel pasi biroz li divrei hakol. I will find you a case where we're more machmir as far as the Pesach and the opening with the airspace that's too wide than we are with regard to Paretz Meruba LaOmed. And this we find in Pasi Biroz. So you may recall that as we discussed in great length yesterday, Pasi Biroz, which Masechta Erevin dedicates an entire chapter, the second chapter of this Masechta is dedicated to Pasi Biroz. It's a well of water. And the water that's drawn from this well is being drawn from Rishus HaYochid, because the well has a depth of 10 tefachim and a width of 4x4 tefachim. And the Rabbanan allowed you to set up diumadim, which are kind of posts on four corners surrounding the well. And you can draw water from the well, because now these pasi biros, these pasim, these diumadim, that are situated around, they create an imaginary mechitzas that surround the well. And yet, Rabbi Meir says that the maximum distance between each one of these four corners is up to, but not beyond, Eser Amos. Once there's Eser Amos between one pole or post and another, then according to Rabbi Meir, you can no longer carry from or draw the water from the bar out into the Pasei Biros, between the Pasei Biros, because now the Pasei Biros cannot function as mechitzos. Why? Because you have an open area of 10 amos or more. And yet, despite the fact that as far as the opening of a Pesach, Rabbi Meir says 10 amos is a maximum, and beyond that, even in the case of Pasei Biros, it's possible, it's osur. In the case of Paretz Merubah La'omed, which certainly prohibits a chatzah, but yet, he tarta eitzel Pasei Biros. Pasei Biros means that it's all Paretz. I mean, it's basically open on all four sides. It's certainly Paretz Merubah La'omed. And yet, we rely on Pasei Biros to convert this area into Rishus HaYochid so that he can draw the water up. And that's L'divrei HaKol. Nobody denies that the case of Pasei Biros has a distance between one pas and over of airspace that certainly means there's more airspace than there is pasim that are blocking up and surrounding this bar. So we see clearly that we are more machmir in the case of the width of Eser Amos than we are in Paretz Merubah La'omed. We have a precedent for relying on mechitzos in a chatzir to be mater chatzir, even in a case of Paretz Merubah La'omed. So therefore, even though Rav was more machmir as far as the opening of Eser Amos, and he said that Tzuras HaPesach is not going to rectify that situation, but Rav himself might very well agree that in the case of Paretz Merubah La'omed, which was Rav Yosef's case of a chatzir merubah bipsochim ubechalonos, that a Tzuras HaPesach would be matir. I have a beautiful diagram here of Rav Yosef's scenario of chatzir merubah bipsochim vechalonos. I don't know if I can somehow take a picture of this and send it to you, because I don't think you'll see it here on Zoom. But what I wanted to point out about this diagram, which is so beautiful, is that these walls that surround the chatzer have a Tzuras HaPesach, which means there's a horizontal row of stones and two vertical rows of stones that are the main entrance into this chatzer, and you'll find this on all sides. So it's definitely a Tzuras HaPesach. And yet, Rav Yosef wants to argue that Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you because it's Paretz Merubah La'omed. Well, it could very well be that Rav would agree that we could rely on Tzuras HaPesach in a case of Paretz Merubah La'omed. Where do we find the precedent that Paretz Merubah La'omed is more kal than an opening that's wide 10 amos? We find it in Pasei Biros. Lema Misayele, however, the Gemara wants to quote a brisa to support Rav Yosef. And the brisa says that Tufano Salalu Sharuban Psochim Bechalonos Mutter Ubilvachi He Omed Meruba Ala Poritz. Now, before we get to the raya, let's just understand the brisa itself. The brisa itself doesn't seem to make that much sense, because if you read the brisa as it's written, then you're talking about rubo psochim v'chalonos, that the chatzer here is surrounded by mostly openings, open windows, open space. And then you say, ubilvache omed merubah la'paretz. I mean, the case that you're dealing with is a case of paretz merubah la'omed. So the answer is, ruban salkadaita. Could it possibly be that we take this brisa literally, ela ema, we have to reinterpret the brisa, riba behen psochim v'chalonos? It's not that he has many, many windows and airspace that surround this chatzah, but rather he added many, many different windows. But we can still rely and allow tiltal within this chatzah bilvad as long as we fulfill the condition of omed meruba al haparetz. Now, in this particular case, the Gemara thinks that the reason why we're going to rely on these walls, which are so full of psochim and chalonos, is because of a Tzuras HaPesach. And this would support, I'm sorry, despite the fact that there's a Tzuras HaPesach, we're going to still require omed merubah la'paretz. This is going to support Rav Yosef's contention that just like Rav disqualifies Tzuras HaPesach in the case of a Pesach that's Rochav Aser Amos, so too he would disqualify a Tzuras HaPesach in the case of Paretz Merubah La'omed. And that's what the Brice is really teaching us, that it must be with all these halonos and psachim that you have omed meruva al haparutz. And the question is, why? Why is that necessary? After all, we have a Tzuras HaPesach. And the answer is, support for Rav Yosef, that Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help us in a case of parutz meruva al omed. And that's why this brisa stipulates this condition. It's got to be omed meruva al haparutz. Omer Rav Kahana, ki tanya ahi bepischei shimoi. That brisa is referring to a case of pischei shimoi. Now, exactly what the word shimoi means is quite a machlokas. There are many, many different interpretations. I'll just give you the bottom line for the time being. A pischei shimoi means that there is no Tzuras HaPesach. There's no valid Tzuras HaPesach. The word shimoi comes from, Rashi says, shmama. Shmama means desolation. Something that's mekulkal, that's not in good shape, is called desolate. And that's called shimoi. And the point is that this particular Pesach is not a Tzuras HaPesach that you could qualify and validate as a Tzuras HaPesach, because it's mekulkal. And there's something wrong with it. So the Gemara asks, what's wrong with this Tzuras HaPesach that it cannot qualify as a Tzuras HaPesach, and that's why we need Omed Meruva Laparutz, implying that if it would have been a valid Tzuras HaPesach, a bona fide Tzuras HaPesach that had all the requirements fulfilled, then you would not require Omed Meruva Laparutz, and Tzuras HaPesach could be matir, even in the case of Paritz Meruva Laomed. My Pischei Shimoi, Pligibe Rav Rechume V'Rav Yosef Chanomar, the less Lehu Shikfe, V'Chanomar, the less Lehu Tikra. According to the first opinion, the kilkul here in this Tzuras HaPesach is that a Tzuras HaPesach has to have two vertical lines that are absolutely straight, and they're not zigzagged, and they climb from the ground all the way up. Here in this case, what he does is he's got a zigzag, which means that he knocks out some of the stones over here and some of the stones over here, but on every other level, like he skips a level. So you have some stones that protrude here, other stones that protrude there. That's not a Tzuras HaPesach. Chanom, according to the other opinion, it doesn't have a top, which is called a tikra, which means that it may have perfect vertical posts or stones that go up on both sides, but although those are straight and reliable, there's no horizontal roof on top of these two posts, and therefore it cannot qualify as a Tzuras HaPesach. V'af Rav Yochanan sofa lo lehodarav. Rav Yochanan also agrees that if you have an opening that is more than 10 tefachim wide, and it's not a Pesach because of its width, a Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you. D'yomar Rav Inbar Rav Ad Omar Rav Yitzchak Maise Be'odom Echad. Bikas Beis Chorson. Now, what we're about to learn is a comparison and perhaps a contrast between the laws of Shabbos and the laws of Kilayim. And in a certain place, location called Bikas Beis Chorson, there was a story about a person who set up knots, Arba Kundaisin. Kundaisim are, in modern Hebrew, Yesedos, which means he sets up four vertical poles, like a kind of a square shape. Be arba pinos hasode, on four corners of a piece of his field, and then umasach zmora me'alehem. What he did was he wanted to get a horizontal crossbar, so to speak. He took a branch, probably of a vineyard, of a vine, that's called the zmora in Hebrew, and he stretched it across these four posts in such a way that it would form a Tzuras HaPesach. So now we have a situation where you've got four vertical poles in a kind of a square shape, if you follow what I mean, and he stretches from one pole to the other a branch, making it into a Tzuras HaPesach. And as we'll soon see, the relative halacha here of Tzuras HaPesach is twofold. Number one, it is a Kilayim halacha. Why? because if you set up a mechitza between your vines and your tefua that you want to plant, then there's no iser kelayim. You can plant the tefua right outside, close to the vines. You don't have to be marchik 4 amos, which normally is a requirement. And the reason for this heter is because you have a mechitza that separates the two. Here, in this case, he thought, this particular Adam, that it would be sufficient to set up a tzuras ha-pesach to separate that part where he's planting, let's say, a vineyard, and that part beyond the tzuras ha-pesach on the other side where he's planting tvua. This is also going to be relevant to whether he's allowed to carry within these 4 poles. And you have now parts merubah la'omed, and that's going to undermine the mechitzas, unless we say that because he set up this zmorah across and a tzuras ha-pesach, that's going to be matir even in a case of parts merubah la'omed. But ma'isel ifnei chachamim v'tir lo le'inyan kelayim. They validated the halachic import or power, so to speak, of a tzuras ha-pesach as a mechitza to be matir kelayim. So now he has gefanim that he is planting inside the mechitza, and he's going to plant tvua immediately outside this mechitza, because tzuras ha-pesach is going to be matir kelayim. Now, we're going to have machlokes, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether this tzuras ha-pesach could be matir as far as tiltul v'shabbos inside this place that was surrounded by these so-called mechitzos. So Reish Lakish took the tzuras ha-pesach and its efficacy one step further, and he applied it consistently from kelayim to Shabbos, allowing you to carry within these so-called mechitzos. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, we're making as far as kelayim, but we're machmir as far as Shabbos is concerned. So Gemara says, b'mayaskina. Now, this b'mayaskina, the Gemara is going to raise 2 possibilities as to whether or not he set up the zmora, which was, if you remember, that horizontal branch that he stretched across. Did he do it on top of the highest level of these kundesim, or did he do it in the middle level? Once again, I have a beautiful diagram of it here. And the Gemara says, "B'mayaskina." What's the case? Elam, if you're going to tell me, minatzad means be'emtza govam, which means that he set up this anaf, this mora, midway between the floor, the ground, and the top height of this kundesim, of these kundesim. Then we don't understand Reish Lakish because we have a statement of Rav Chisda. Omer Rav Chisda, tzuras ha-pesach shasah min atzad, lo asah klu, v'lo klu. A tzuras ha-pesach, which has, as we said, 2 vertical poles, and 1 pole that goes across, that pole that goes across has to be on top of the 2 vertical poles. It cannot be in the middle, stretching from one pole to the other. And if it is in the middle, that's called min atzad, it's meaningless, totally ineffective. So therefore, it's not possible that Reish Lakish would have recognized the validity of this tzuras ha-pesach, both for kelayim and for Shabbos, if it's min atzad, because of Rav Chisda's statement. Ela al gabon. It must be that he placed that zmora, that branch, on top of these yesedos that we mentioned before. Ubimai. Now we want to know, what is the actual width, the opening between these yesedos? So far we haven't had any indication one way or the other. But now, in the context of the machlok shrin Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Gemara says, ilema be'eser, if you're going to tell me that the width of the pesach, meaning between the kundesin, is up to, but not beyond, eser amos, is then I have a question for you. Behal lema Rabbi Yochanan b'Shabbos lo. Could Rabbi Yochanan have said that this could not operate and be valid on Shabbos because it's too wide of a Pesach? That's impossible. Less than Eser Amos is a Pesach. And if it's a Pesach in general, then it's got to be a Pesach as we apply that to Hilchos Shabbos. El Olav, therefore, by process of elimination, we're going to have to say Be Yeser Mi Yeser, that the space between these 2 yesedos is more than 10 amos. And Rabbi Yochanan is not willing to be matir this mechitza, as far as Shabbos is concerned, and the question is, why not? After all, it's Tzuras HaPesach. The only possible explanation is that Rabbi Yochanan, like Rav, holds that in a case where you have a Pesach that's wider than 10 Amos, a Tzuras HaPesach is not meaningful. Look, the Gemara says, we're not talking about a case where the distance and the opening is Eser Amos, but rather Liolam Ad Eser, Be Ad Eser. We're talking about less than 10 Amos. And U Min Hatzad, even though the opening here is valid, it's less than Eser Amos wide, nevertheless the problem here is because he put the crossbar, that Anaf, that Zimra, in the middle of the Kundesin, in the middle of these Yisedos, not on top. Now we just finished saying that according to Rav Chisda, if you put it in the middle, that's not a valid Tzuras HaPesach. Gemara says, Min Hatzad Ube the Rav Chisda Komiflegi, the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is with regard to this din of Rav Chisda. Rav Yochanan accepted the principle of Rav Chisda, and a Tzuras HaPesach in the middle, where the crossbar is in the middle, min atzad, is lo osavol klum, it's totally invalid, where Reish Lakish rejected Rav Chisda, and he holds that you can be matu with the Tzuras HaPesach, even if the crossbar, that horizontal bar, is located somewhere in the middle between the height of the vertical two poles. And that's going to be the machlokas. Now it comes out that according to this interpretation, we can have a Tzuras HaPesach as far as Kelayim is concerned, even min atzad. That was not an issue. Even Rabbi Yochanan accepted that. Reish Lakish extended that to apply it even to Shabbos, because he held it's a real bona fide Tzuras HaPesach, even though it's min atzad. And here's where Rabbi Yochanan put his foot down, and he says, as far as Shabbos is concerned, this would not qualify, since it's min atzad, as a Tzuras HaPesach. V'rami d'Rabbi Yochanan d'Rabbi Yochanan, v'rami d'Reish Lakish d'Reish Lakish. We have another tradition, and we're going to have a contradiction both from Rabbi Yochanan to another statement of Rabbi Yochanan, and from Reish Lakish to another statement of Reish Lakish. The Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina. Now, you might want to underline those words, because whenever you see someone quoting someone else, you always have to wonder, anticipating what's going to come out around the bend in the Gemara, whether or not the person who's quoting this statement actually agrees to the statement, or he's just transmitting a tradition, but he doesn't necessarily hold by it. So right now the Gemara is assuming that Reish Lakish is quoting Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina because he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina. And here we turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Peah. Now the word peah means when you take a branch and you braid it. And the word peah is really taken from peah nachris, which is a kind of braided wig. And here, we're not braiding a wig, but we're braiding a branch. And then you stretch it out over two yesedos, two vertical poles. So you have this braided vine. And according to this tradition, Reish Lakish is telling us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina that muteres linyan kelayim av lo linyan Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, b'mechitzos, k'mechitzos l'shabbos, d'lo, kach b'mechitzos l'kelayim d'lo. We now have a double contradiction, because this case is similar to the previous case of the Adam Echad that we discussed in Bikas Beis Charon, and there Reish Lakish validated this Tzuras HaPesach both as far as Kelayim and as far as Shabbos is concerned. Here Reish Lakish is saying that it's only valid as Kelayim, but not as far as Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, in the previous case, had validated this kind of Tzuras HaPesach in the case of the Din of Kelayim. Here, he's being quoted as saying that it's completely invalid, and just like it's invalid as far as Shabbos is concerned to set up a Tzuras HaPesach and a Mechitza, so too, it's not a Mechitza as far as Kelayim is concerned. So that's the double steer. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Reish Lakish Ad Reish Lakish Lokash. I certainly have no steer between Reish Lakish and Shahadi Dev Had Rabbeh. In the original statement of Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish was expressing his own opinion that a Tzuras HaPesach is absolutely valid, even if it's min atzad, both as far as Kelayim and as far as Shabbos. The second statement, in which Reish Lakish limited the validity of this kind of a Tzuras HaPesach to Kelayim, that he was expressing in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chanina, but he never accepted it himself. Ela Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan were not quoted. Rabbi Yochanan was not passing on a tradition in the name of his Rebbeim. This was his own personal opinion. So the Gemara says the following. E Amrit Bishlema Hosam. If you're going to accept the position that, with regard to Not Arba Yisedos, that's a case of Al Gavon, it means it wasn't Minatzad, it was a perfectly valid Tzuras HaPesach in the sense that he had placed the cross Anaf on top of the Kundesu, which is the right way of making a Tzuras HaPesach. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan validated that Tzuras HaPesach, at least as far as Kelayim is concerned. Hacha, but here, where Rabbi Yochanan disqualified this kind of a Tzuras HaPesach, both with regard to Shabbos and even with regard to Kelayim, Kach Mechitzis the Kelayim Delo, as we said before, that's a case of Minatzat. That's a case where the crossbar, that anaf, that zimmer, was not set up on top of the Yisedos, but rather in the middle of the Yisedos. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan says, holding like Rav Chisda, the Tzuras HaPesach is not valid at all. Shapir, now we have no contradiction, because there are two different cases. Where did Rabbi Yochanan, in what context did he validate this Tzuras HaPesach? At least as far as Kelayim is concerned, where he did it the right way, and he placed the cross Zimra on top of the Kundesa. In the case where Rabbi Yochanan completely disqualifies this Tzuras HaPesach, even as far as Kelayim is concerned, that's the case of Minatzad. And Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav that a Tzuras HaPesach could not be Matir Pesach that's wider than 10 Amos, as far as Shabbos is concerned. As far as Kelayim is concerned, that's a different story. As long as we have a valid Tzuras HaPesach, and he did it the right way, he didn't do it Minatzad, then it certainly is valid. And even in a case where he did it Minatzad, where, as far as Shabbos is concerned, Rabbi Yochanan is going to disqualify this Tzuras HaPesach because it was Minatzad, Rabbi Yochanan is implying that if we're talking about a Pesach that's wider than 10 Amos, Rabbi Yochanan accepts the opinion, the position of Rav, that Tzuras HaPesach is not Matir Pesach that's more than 10 Amos wide, as far as Shabbos is concerned. And here we're talking about a case where Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are dealing with a Tzuras HaPesach, which is Minatzad. And here Rabbi Yochanan accepts Rav Chisda, that a Tzuras HaPesach, Minatzad, is not worth its money, it's nothing. Whereas Reish Lakish rejected Rav Chisda, he holds that a Tzuras HaPesach, even Minatzad, is valid. And in that sense, Reish Lakish was rejecting Rabbi Yehuda Reb Chanina. But if you're going to tell me that we're talking about a case of Minatzad, is Michael Meimar. Now we have a head-on collision, a stira, that doesn't allow for reconciliation, because back in the first case, Rabbi Yochanan was machshir such a mechitza, Minatzad, as far as Kelayim is concerned. Here he says, as far as Kelayim, it's asur. So therefore, we have no choice but to assume that the original case, if it is a Tzuras HaPesach and it's valid for Kelayim, it must be a case where he placed the Zimra on top of the Kundesim, on top of these Yisedos, and nevertheless it's not valid as far as Shabbos is concerned. And the reason for that is because the opening here is more than 10 Amos wide, and Rabbi Yochanan accepts the principle of Rav that a Tzuras HaPesach cannot be Matir a Pesach when that Pesach is wider in its opening than 10 Amos. And he rejects Li Olam, I can tell you, Idi Minatzad. That in truth, Rabbi Yochanan, in both cases, in both versions of his statement, of his ruling, was talking about a Tzuras HaPesach Minatzad Hosam, but Rabbi Yochanan over there, in the first case, Be'eser, he was talking about a case where the opening of, or shall we say, the distance between the Kundesim was up to, but not beyond Eser Amos. It was less than Eser Amos, and therefore Tzuris HaPesach could be Mater, at least as far as Kilayim is concerned. And that would apply even if it was Minatzad. Hacha. But here in the second case, it's Berocha of Yoser Mi Eser Amos. It's wider of a distance than Eser Amos, and therefore Tzuris HaPesach wouldn't be meaningful and valid, and not even as far as Kilayim is concerned. But a Tzuris HaPesach, which would be done the right way, which would mean that he would place the Zimra on top of these Sedos, it's very possible that Rav Yochanan would disagree with Rav. He would hold the Tzuris HaPesach with Matir in such a case, even in a case of a Pesach that's Racha of Me'eser Amos, even wider than Eser Amos, and even as far as Shabbos is concerned. So we really don't have any clear-cut proof that Rav Yochanan accepts the principle of Rav, that Tzuris HaPesach cannot be effective in the case of a Pesach that's Rachav, it's wider than Eser Amos, because it could be that in this case, Rav Yochanan disqualifies the Tzuris HaPesach because it was a Pesach that was Yoser Me Eser Amos, and it was Minatzad. But had he done it the right way, where Rav would say it wouldn't help at all in Mechitzas of Shabbos because the Pesach is wider than Eser Amos, Rav Yochanan would say no. Had he done it the right, proper way, then it would be fine. Uminat Temra. And now we have to ask the following question. Deshanilon bein Eser li Yoser me Eser. We're talking now not only about Shabbos, but also about Kilayim. And do we find that there is some sort of distinction in the case of Kilayim between a Pesach that's less than Eser Amos, wide, as opposed to a Pesach that is 10 Amos plus in its width? So the Gemara asks, Minola deshani le, bein Eser li Yoser me Eser, and as far as Kilayim is concerned, the Omele, Rabbi Yochanan, L'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, how can you rely on a Tzuris HaPesach min Atzad, and to be matir a Pesach that's wider than Eser, as far as Kilayim is concerned, lo kach hoya maisa? Didn't we have a story in the following case? Shaholach Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua, Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, lilmod Torah. The afalpi shebaki behilchas Kilayim, even though Rabbi Yeshua was an expert in Hilchas Kilayim, he still wanted to ask Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri for his opinion about these halachas. Mitzao sheyoshe ben Ailonos, he encountered Rabbi Yochanan out in the field amongst the trees. And that was a great place to sort of create a model from the trees and ask Rabbi Yochanan a question about Kilayim. So what did he do? Masach Zmora mi'ilon le'ilon. He took a branch. There were two trees. And he stretched this branch from one tree to the other. He created a Tzuris HaPesach v'Omalo. And he turns to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi, and he says to my Rebbe, I gefanim kan, ma'ol izro'a kan, would this Tzuris HaPesach be enough to be validated as a machitza so that it could separate between the gefanim and the zroim and the tvua, and in Kalayim it would be a valid machitza, Omalo, be eser mutter, be yosem eser osur. It means that this Tzuris HaPesach could be helpful if the opening, the airspace here, is a distance of up to, but not beyond Eser Amos. That's fine. But if you want to rely on this Tzuris HaPesach to be matir, kilayin, in a case of yosem eser Amos, then it's osur. And once again, let's analyze this scenario of this particular case, b'maya skina. Elam, if it's the case of Al Gabon, which means that he placed the Zmora, this is Rabbi Yeshua, on top of the two trees, on the very top, then really we don't understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because if this Mechitza is a valid Mechitza, it's a Tzuris HaPesach that was done in the proper way, and now you're going to tell me because it's Yosef Me'eser Amos Osir, that in a case of a Tzuris HaPesach, because the opening here is more than Eser Amos, then Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri passes the Tzuris HaPesach, and therefore asks Kilayim, Vatani, we have a Braisa. And this Braisa is addressing the laws of Kilayim. Hoyusham Konim Hadokranim. these are kanim chadim. These are like a pencil, but a very large pencil, if you follow what I mean. So it becomes very sharp in its top corner. It has a point to it. And he turns that point into the karka, like a spear. And then he takes a branch that's braided, as we said before, and he ties it from one kana to the other, attaching these two poles to a crossbar. Here we have a brisa that explicitly says that you can rely on a tzurus ha-pesach, if it's done properly, to be matir kilayim, even if the pesach is more than 10 amos wide. Elalav, therefore, by process of elimination, we have no choice but to assume that Rabbi Yeshua, when he stretched this zmora, it was minatzad. It wasn't on top of the two trees. Uka Amar Le, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri responded to Rabbi Yeshua that bi esem muter, bi osu mi eser osu. Which means that although a tzurus ha-pesach is matir in kilayim, even in a case of a pesach that's wider than 10, but here you didn't have a real tzurus ha-pesach. This is not a bona fide tzurus ha-pesach because he attached it in the middle of the trees, not on top of the trees. And that's called minatzad. And in such a case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is willing to rely on a zmora minatzad in a case of up to Eser Amos of an opening. But if it's more than Eser Amos, then you need a bona fide, full-fledged, perfectly made Tzuras HaPesach, which means that the crossbar, the horizontal bar, is on top. And even as far as Kelayim is concerned, we see clearly that there are differences between a Pesach that is 10 Amos wide, up to 10 Amos, as opposed to a Pesach that is more than 10 Amos wide. And the Nafkamina is going to be the case of Tzuras HaPesach min Hatzad, Shma Minah, and the Gemara says this is a reliable proof. Gufa, let's go back to something that we discussed earlier about Tzuras HaPesach. Omar Avchiz, Tzuras HaPesach Shom min Hatzad, Lo Osv Lo Klum. As we said before, if the crossbar is in the middle of these two vertical poles, Rav Chisda completely disqualifies such a Tzuras HaPesach. Furthermore, Vi Omar Avchizda, Tzuras HaPesach Sha'omru, Tzricha Shetei Bria Kedei Lamud Bo Deles Vafilu Deles Shel Kashin. A Tzuras HaPesach has to be strong enough so that it could hold up a door, but it could be any door. It could be even a door that's made out of a very light substance, like the outside of the kernels of grains, which are obviously very light. Next, what else do we know about Tzuras HaPesach? Omar Reish Lakash Shum Rav Yanai, Tzuras HaPesach Tzricha Heker Tzir. What does that mean? My Heker Tzir, Omar Rav Avya Av Kosa. In other words, he has to have holes in the sides of the two vertical poles such that he can knock in the hinges of a door. Again, he doesn't have to put up the door, but he has to at least have a Tzuras HaPesach, which is roi, which lends itself to attach a door. And that means that he's already prepared the holes on the sides of the framework such that he could just attach the door and the door will fit into those holes which will hold on to the door. Ashkechinu Rav Acha B'reid Rav Avya L'talmidi D'Rav Rav Ashi Omalahu. So when Rav Acha met the Talmidim of Rav Ashi, he said to them, Omar Mar Midi B'dine Tzuras HaPesach, do you hear anything from your Rebbe Rav Ashi regarding Tzuras HaPesach? Omalahu Omar Klum. We didn't hear anything. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Tzuras HaPesach Sha'omru is Konamikan, V'kon Al Gabeh. He's got one pole on the right, one on the left, and a cross pole on top. The Gemara clarifies. Tzrichim Liga or Ein Tzrichim Liga? This is reminiscent of a Gemara that we had the other day about a Korah, where the Korah has to go from one coast of the Mavi to the other coast of the Mavi. Here also, in the case of Tzuras HaPesach, is it absolutely critical that this Kana Elion, the one that goes across, has to be directly in contact and placed directly on top of the two vertical poles from the sides, or we don't need that. And the Gemara quotes Machlokas. Rav Nachman Omar, Ein Tzrichim Liga. It's not critical. And Rav Sheshes Omar, Tzrichim Liga. And now the Gemara is going to quote a story. Mazal Rav Nachman v'ovid uvde beresh galusa kishmate. So Rav Nachman was the one who said that the top crossbar does not have to be in direct contact with the two vertical poles. And he actually did a maisa based on his psak. Now this maisa, this ruling, took place in the house of the Resh Galusa. The Resh Galusa had a rechava, in other words, he had a plot of land outside of his house that was surrounded by mechitzos. And the purpose of the mechitzos was to allow tiltul, to allow him carrying from his house out into this rechava, this open plot of land on Shabbos. And he made wide openings, which were more than Eser Amos. And Rav Nachman, who was now like authorized by the Resh Galusa to make sure that it would be allowed, it would be permissible to take from the house out into the Rechava, he set up a Tzuras HaPesach. However, he set up a Tzuras HaPesach according to his Shita, which means that the Kana Elyon, the top crossbar, was not touching the sides. Now, Rav Sheshes, as you know, disagreed with Rav Nachman. He held that that's not a Tzuras HaPesach. So therefore, Amalei let Rav Sheshes l'shame, he authorizes his second-in-command, his serviceman, his shamash, Rav Gada was his name, Zil Shlof Shadinu, take these poles that were being set up by Rav Nachman as a Tzuras HaPesach and throw them out. Because Rav Sheshes was afraid that the people in the Resh Galusa's house would rely on this Tzuras HaPesach, which was totally invalid according to Rav Sheshes. So just get rid of all the evidence. Ozal Shalaf Shadinu. So Rav Gada went ahead based on the mandate that was given to him by Rav Sheshes, and he threw out all these poles. And Ashkechu, he got caught. The Bei Resh Galusa, the members of the household, caught him red-handed. Chavshu, and they locked him up. So Ozal Rav Sheshes, come above. Rav Sheshes got to the door of the cell where he was being incarcerated, and he knocks on the door. Omer Leh, he tells Gada, poke ta, come and go out. And now, the household members of the Resh Galusa heard that Rav Sheshes freed Rav Gada. Nafak v'asa. So he left the base Asurim, this Rav Gada, and he comes to Rav Sheshes. And the story now goes into part two. Ashkeche Rav Sheshes l'Rav Bar Shmuel. And now what's going to happen is that Rav Sheshes is going to find out that there's a brisa that supports Rav Nachman. And what happened? Rav Sheshes meets Rav Bar Shmuel Omole, Tony Mar Midi, B'Tzuras HaPesach. Did you have any brisa maybe that you heard about Tzuras HaPesach? Omole in. Rav Bar Shmuel says, I did have a brisa about Tzuras HaPesach. And although the brisa is actually discussing the laws of the mitzvah of mezuzah, but from the laws of the mitzvah of mezuzah, we're going to derive by analogy the laws of Tzuras HaPesach. And what was the case? As you know, any sort of entranceway into a building requires a mezuzah, but there are conditions. And now we're talking about a kippah. A kippah means that this entranceway was in the shape of an arc, so it was a circle on top. Rav Meir was mechayev in mezuzah v'chacham potri. Rav Meir says that this archway requires a mezuzah. And by the way, here in Yerushalayim, you'll see so many of these. Even near Katamon, you'll see these sometimes old Arab houses and so forth and so on. They have these arched entranceways, openings. And Rav Chacham Potri. Now, why did the Chachamim say that this eagle, this kippah, which is round, is potter from mezuzah? And the answer is because the kippah is made up of two vertical lines and then a semicircle on top. As you get close to the top, the semicircle, the distance between the right side and the left side becomes very narrow until it really reaches just a one point on top. And this Pesach became more narrow than Arba Tefachim. A Pesach, in order to have a Shem Pesach, for all dinim, including mezuzah, has to be at least a width of four Tefachim. And we're going to have to figure out why Rabbi Meir says that in this case, you are chayv and mezuzah. And anyway, v'shavim, they all agree, and that means that even the Chacham will agree to Rabbi Meir, she'im yesh b'ragleha asara, she'chayevus b'mezuzah. Raglea means the two vertical lines before it gets wide on top. Before it gets round on top. Gets narrow on top. Not wide, but narrow. And if you have an archway where the two, shall we say, posts on the side, both sides, are 10 tefachim wide before it begins to get round on top. So that at the height of 10 tefachim, you have a width of 4 tefachim, then even Chacham would agree that you're chayev in mezuzah. The fact that it gets round as a keep on top is irrelevant because you already have a Pesach because of the height of 10 tefachim that has a width of 4 tefachim. And now this is going to prove, Rabbi Yochanan, that we don't need that the Kanim on the two sides of a Tzuris Pesach have to actually be touching, that the crossbar has to actually be resting on top and directly in contact with the two sides. Because here, they were machshir the Pesach, even though, if you take a look at it, what you're imagining is an imaginary line at the height of 10 tefachim going from east to west, and then it gets round on top, so that in effect, you don't have any contact between that straight line across and the top of this archway. So you have basically a situation, as he writes it here in the name of Rashi, that her eagle, the round part, is mafsik, bein ha-mezuzas la-mashko for elyon. V'afal piche nidon hu kepesach v'chayev b'mezuzah. So to be machshir this Pesach, where the lower part of this Pesach does not get round, it's still vertical, but nevertheless the round part on top is going to create a hefsek between the two side poles, you know, to both the right and the left of the frame, and the top of what's called a mashkof. So that mashkof, which is now serving as a Tzuris HaPesach, in a certain sense, not literally, but figuratively, is not in contact with the two raglayim, the two vertical sides, because you have this round part that separates the top from that imaginary straight across. Omer Abaya Kol Modim, even Rabbi Meir would agree, Im Gavoa Asora V'ein if there is a height of 10 tefachim, but when you get to the third tefach in height from the ground, there's no width of 4 tefachim, then even Rav Meir is going to agree that you're not chayav mezuzah, meaning even Rav Meir has a basic requirement that up to 3 tefachim, you already have a width, up to 3 tefachim in height, you already have a width of 4 tefachim. Inami, yesh beragleh shlosha, if you have 4 tefachim wide and 3 tefachim height, but ein gavar asara, but even before you get to 10 tefachim, it's already creating an archway, a semicircle on top, lo klum, that's not a Pesach. Ki pligi the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim is in a case where yesh baragleo shlosha tefachim. In other words, if you go 3 tefachim up from the ground, you already have a rochav, a width of 4 tefachim, ugavoa asara, and the two sides reach asara tefachim, is then v'ein rochav arba, even though when we get to 10 tefachim, now it gets narrow, and we no longer have a width of arba tefachim, but yesh ba. And here I would add one word to the Gemara for clarification. Kidei lochok. It means that this archway is situated in a wall, meaning around the archway, which is open space, there is wall. And that's called yeshbo kidei lochok. we could imagine chiseling it out in such a way that you would make this archway into a rectangle instead of a round part, lashlima la'adbra, and by doing so, you would finally have an opening that's four tvachim, even on top. Why? Because although it gets narrow, you can imagine it as a rectangle by punching out, knocking out the stones. If there are no stones, then even Rabbi Meir would say it's not a Pesach. And Rabbi Meir sover chokikim lahashlim, meaning we could have this imaginary chakika and imagine as if we had knocked out, you know, these various stones. V'rabbanan savri ein chokikim lahashlim. No, you must have an actual Pesach, which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. We're not going to imagine chakika as if we took off the stones on the top part. Amalei Rav Sheshet says to Rav Bar Shmuel, since we have this proof that a Tzuras HaPesach does not require that the crossbar actually be in contact with the two vertical poles, Imishkachas Lehu, if you come across, encounter, the Bnei Reish Galus Lo Temel Lehu, the Bnei Reish Galus Lo, the don't say a word, Mehom Asnis in the Kippah, from this Brisa of Kippah, let me straighten out the record. And basically Rav Sheshet rescinded his original position based on his brisa, and he accepted the position of Rav Nachman. And what that whole shtick that they did when they took apart Rav Nachman's Tzuras HaPesach was not halachically correct, but don't reveal it, don't spill the beans. Now I realize we are pressed for time. If you have another 2 minutes, at least let's learn the Mishnah. Hechsher Mavui is Beit Shammai Omrim Lechi V'Kora. According to Beit Shammai, it's not enough to have a Lechi, which is 10 Tfachim high on the side of the entranceway into the Mavi. You also need a Kora, which has a width of 1 Tefach, and that is on top of the opening of the Mavi going horizontally across. Beit Hillel Omrim O Lechi O Kora. Beit Hillel will allow you to be Matir the Mavi for Tiltal with either a Lechi or a Kora. You don't need both. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Lichayayim, namely, and he's interpreting Beit Shammai, that you need two lechis. And the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? You need two lechis plus a korah, or two lechis instead of a lechi and a korah? The Mishnah continues, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Talmud Echad Lifnei Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yishmael relates that a certain Talmud transmitted a tradition of Rabbi Akiva, O Nechuku Beit Shammai Silel, Al Mavui Shupachos Me Arba Amos. If the Mavui has an entranceway that is very small, it's narrow, it's less than 4 amos, then even Beit Shammai will agree to Beit Hillel, Shunitar Obelechi Obekora, that you don't need both a Lechi and a Korah. Nechluku, what is the case where Beit Shammai argues against Beit Hillel, requires both a Lechi and a Korah? That's Al Rochav Me Arba Amos Viad Eser Amos. If it's a width, the entranceway into the Mavi is 4 amos wide, up to 10 amos. Beit Shammai Omrim Lechi V'Kor, Beit Hillel Omrim Lechi O'Kora, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Alzeh V'Alzeh Nechleku. He disagrees with this transmission of Rabbi Shmuel. He holds the Machlokes Beit Hillel Beit Shammai applies straight across the board, whether the Mavi has a Pesach of 4 amos, up to 10 amos, or it has a rochav that's less than 4 amos. In both cases, Beit Shammai require a lechi and a korah. So this is where we're going to stop for today, here on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and that's the Gemara on the bottom of the Amud. Let me take this opportunity to wish you a very fine day.